bless you all. I was just thinking there's a lot of other things that we could be doing this afternoon. But we love the Lord and we want to serve Him. We just want to gather in His name as well. Shall we sing number 176, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We sing number 36, Showers of Blessing. Thank you. Sing My God Is Real, and then we'll have testimonies if anybody has a testimony this afternoon.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God.
Done for them. No? No items? That's right. We'll sing number 257, There Is a River.
Draw.
Let's just sing "Flow Through Me," and then I'll ask Brother Howard if he would come. Whose is this? Sorry. Whose desire is this?
Praise the Lord. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this afternoon. Pray that the Lord will bless us and speak to us through his word. We're living in a wearisome time. Agree? It's a wearisome day. And I pray that God will encourage us this morning, this afternoon. I'd like to turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Isn't that amazing? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I just want to read this from the Amplified Version. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faith. So may God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word, Lord. It's always an encouragement to read your word. Lord, if we did nothing else but read your word, we'd be encouraged. And we pray, Lord, you'll speak to us this afternoon. May our hearts be in tune with you. We commit this word to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May you be seated. If there's ever a time that we need to apply the scripture, I believe it's now. Because it's easy to be discouraged by surrounding circumstances. So easy to become physically and spiritually weary at these times. However, God's word is exhorting us not to fall for this trap. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been written. So what does it to be weary in well-doing mean? Now, if we look at the Greek word, we've got a Greek in our midst. Got to be careful. If we look at the Greek word, it has a stronger meaning. Weary does not just mean to become tired. Doesn't mean that at all. It can partly mean that, of course. Weary of well-doing refers to our will. Our will. We're losing will to do that which is right. We lose the will to continue doing that which is right, but it is also connected to the last part of the verse, which says that we faint not. Now, faint not does not mean we fall down exhausted. Faint not means a relaxation of resistance. A relaxation of resistance. To faint means we have relaxed and become exhausted. Now, this is the word of God, brother and sister. God knew how it would be in the end. And as a result of giving into evil, putting it together, we could say this. We have lost our will to continue serving God, and as a result, become relaxed and exhausted as a result of giving into evil. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Our carnal minds could say, if nobody else is trying, why should I? That's a carnal approach. Knowing that we are living, the time that we're living in rather, God's children should be wide awake to the hour we are living. So when we see the conditions about us, we are greatly encouraged and not discouraged, because the fruits of today has been prophesied to be, and it's actually happening right now. We know God's word is being fulfilled. As the bride of Christ, we have been given light in a time of darkness. There's people out there have no clue in the world what's happening around the world. They have no clue in the churches what's happening. It's just everything the same as it always has been. It's not. As we read out of the article this morning, things are happening behind the scenes that are very real. In 1 Thessalonians, we could turn to chapter 5, verse 4. But my brethren, ye brethren, are not in darkness. We're not in darkness. We're not ignorant that day should overtake us as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. Now, that's exactly the thoughts that were in this morning. To be sober-minded. People are sleeping, have no idea what's happening around about. And God has sent us a watchman. I believe He has sent us a watchman. He sent a true prophet in our day. And I want to read what it says in Isaiah 21, verse 11. It says, "The burden of Jumin, he called to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" And the watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. There's coming a morning for us. Glory to God. And there's coming night also. And if we inquire, and if you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come." Praise be to God. In Isaiah it says, "The watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" Watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night." So this is an amazing scripture, but it's all clear. And so revealing in this hour, the morning is coming, but so is the night. Isn't that amazing? The greatest day in world history is coming, the coming of the Lord. Glory. Won't that be wonderful? Who wants the Lord to come? The Lord is coming. That is, the light is coming. And yet, the darkness is coming also upon the world. You haven't seen this world darker than you are seeing it right now. Is that true? People are just, they're blowing their minds. I don't want to go into all the things you see them down the street every day. And so, what happens before the morning breaks? Who knows what happens before the morning breaks? Exactly. Is the greatest darkness. Before the light comes, there's a great darkness on the earth. And that is because the light is pressing behind the darkness. And it's like condensing it. And so scientists tell us that there's darkness before the dawning of the day. So we see it's the light's coming and so is darkness. So we've got to remember that. It's always darkest before the break of day. It's because the light is pressing and condensing the darkness. And at that time, the morning stars come out. Praise the Lord. In the darkness, the morning stars come out. In the darkest hour, our morning star will come. That is the bright morning star, the Lord Jesus, is coming. In the darkest time, He'll come. I'm looking forward to that. That's what I'm living for. I don't want to live for this world. I don't want to chase after things of this world. It's all coming to an end. What we need to do is looking for that morning star to break. He's come to take us home. That's why it says, "There shall be light about the evening time." Isn't that interesting? There shall be light about the evening time. We're in the evening time of this world. In the darkness of the age, God sent light of His word to prepare us. But the night cometh, and we also feel it. There's great darkness over this earth. Those who have ignored the watchman cannot see the time. They prophesy God is sending a great worldwide revival. The watchman said, "This world is finished." The world has had its opportunity. There will be a revival, and that's to get His children ready to get out of here. Hallelujah! We'll be made ready to leave in a moment and twinkling of an eye. The only thing left before judgment is His coming, that morning star. In Revelation chapter 22, 16, we read, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." So who's our morning star? The Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. And God has warned His people about the last days and what to expect. So let us read again from Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "For of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." That's how He comes, as a thief in the night. Not a thief, but as a thief. "And when they shall say peace and safety," like we read this morning, the peace conference, Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We should awake and be not weary in well-doing. Just keep going, Brother Lee. We've just got to keep going. We can't judge always everybody. Well, then it may not be there. Might be just you and I and a few others. Very few will leave this generation. But rejoice, for the morning cometh. It says in Romans 13:11. It's everywhere in the Bible about the light and the dark. And that, knowing the time, and we're not talking about 35 minutes past one. It's not what we're talking about. What time is it in God's calendar? Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. Wakey, wakey, boys and girls. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice the consistency of the Bible, of the Word of God, night and day, all the way through, night and day. The light cometh and so is the darkness. It's great for the children of God. It's a glorious time. It's terrible for the world. Brother and sister, one of these days the lights will come on and people realize what I'm telling is the truth because God's word. People are becoming impatient. And why is this? Because the Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, I thought the Lord would be here by now. They become impatient with one another. Here it is here in Luke 12:43-46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Of a truth I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. See, the servant in his heart. Where's the Lord? I thought he would have been here by now. Everyone's preached it. The Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunk and see just carelessness. They lose faith. They lose heart. Then it says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day and when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. What do you think so wonderful about that? Not wonderful. He wasn't with the unbelievers. But now his portion is with the unbelievers. Because he became impatient. He became weary in well-doing. And he no longer had that will, that faithfulness to keep going. Wait till you get down to three in the church. It'll be me. Anyone else out there going to be here? Tim, you'll be there. Lee? Too many barbers, sorry. But what I'm saying is, you just wait. This is a warning to us all. Don't become weary in well-doing. Notice the consistency. People becoming impatient. The Lord's delaying is coming. But as those who are waiting shall find them so doing, not fainting. So you read in Luke 12, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him rule over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, how many of us are thinking that? You think it, you don't say it, but you think it. Where is the Lord coming? And shall begin to beat the maidservants, men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. He's fainted when he gets to that stage. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion Not with the believers, with the unbelievers. Because he got weary in well doing. Notice he was a servant of the Lord. Yes, he was. And he became impatient unto the coming of the Lord. And he lost his position. Terrible. And was put in with the unbelievers. We read that. He once served the Lord. Then he became weary in well doing. And the scripture tell us that in another way, as we read here in Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound. The world is living in an iniquitous situation. They don't care. They just want to be evil. The love of many believers shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So there's an endurance required. And I believe the finishing line is in view, brother and sister. We can see the finishing line. We're all running a race. We're also nearing the end. And it's at the end of the race, people became weary and tired. I'll never forget the time when I was used to be at high school. We'd go on these steeplechases. I don't know what they're called now, cross country or whatever. And the gun goes and everyone's talking and jostling. And, oh, I'm going to be first. And everyone's just moving out, talking and yelling. But at the end of the race, people are staggering like this. You know, it's the end of the race. It's not how you start, it's how you end that God's talking about. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. See, brother and sister, we cannot afford to become weary in well-doing. We're just going to keep going. The Bible is exhorting us to be vigilant and to keep going. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They get cold towards God. There's too much unbelief. I can't handle this. And that will increase. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the name of the Lord. If they could just get a glimpse of the finishing line. If we just see the Lord on the end of the line in all his glory. I tell you what, brother and sister, all your tiredness will leave you like that. All your impatience will leave you like that. And something sparks within them. This is the hour of his return. The Lord may be getting everything together now. He may be calling the angels together, calling the saints on the other side to get ready. We're coming home. We're coming down to pick up your bodies out of those graves. Brother and sister, we should be under expectation. They wanted to come down and find everyone half asleep down here. We want to be really in tune with the Lord. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:24, "Ye know ye not that they which run a race, run all the race. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain." Don't quit, brother, sister. It's too close to become weary in well-doing. The saints from the banisters of glory right now, you can almost hear them crying out. Brother Searle and Brother Tahu and all the wonderful brothers and sisters, Brother Westrup and his wife, all crying out, "Keep going, brothers and sisters, you're just about at the end, you can't see it, you're just about at the end. Keep going, keep going." They've already run and they have obtained, but they need us to complete the heavenly family. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." See, there's a weight hanging on. We're all weighed down with so much junk. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us." This is talking to believers. "The sin which doth so easily beset your run, your race. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Jesus had to endure, and so do you. You're going to have to endure. Not many are willing to, but there will be some. Despising the shame, and he will sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It's everywhere. A warning against getting weary of the last days, just before he comes. So Jesus had to endure. Do you think Jesus was weary in the race of salvation for souls? Of course he was. Very weary. He fell down under the load of the cross. He couldn't even carry the cross anymore. Somebody had to carry it for him. But he had overcome in Gethsemane. And Jesus never promised an easy road, but a blessed one. Isn't that wonderful? It may not be easy, but it'll be blessed when we get there. When we get to glory, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. So how do we overcome? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just keep your eyes on God. Don't keep your eyes on the pastor. Don't keep your eyes on the church. Don't keep your eyes on this teaching and that teaching. Keep your eyes on Christ. Praise the Lord. So he understands Jesus had to run his race and overcame. And we can overcome too by keeping our eyes on him. In Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh. Now there's got to be some overcoming. Will I grant to sit with me on my throne? Even as I also overcame, Jesus said, and I'm set down with my Father on his throne. People think once they get saved, glory to God, just wait around, he'll come and take me home. No, there's an overcoming. People don't realize there's an overcoming. Sometimes the race gets heavy. But we see the finishing line just ahead of us. And God has constantly warned us about weariness. So weary. So amazing how much Scripture speaks about this. It's a trap of the believer. The weariness. And Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. That's what it says. It's just everywhere in the Bible talking about getting tired and weary of the walk. But brother and sister, you cannot do that. Here's one of the preachers. Here's one for the preacher, sorry. But really, it's for all of us. In 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We read that this morning. In Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There it is. Steadfast unto the end. It's not the starters God's looking for. It's the finishers. Who wants to finish the race? You know, brother, you can only finish it with him. Just hold on to Christ. Keep looking to him. We're going to be there, brother. Do you believe that? I do. With all my heart, I believe it. And this is a wonderful sermon itself in Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't throw it away. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. We need patience. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. Jesus is not going to tarry forever. One day he's coming here. What a glorious time. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, what a terrible thought to draw back. Becoming weary, you see. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Sometimes people are nearly faint when God brings correction. They can't handle it. It says here in Hebrews 12:5, this is like a little Bible study, so. And ye have forgotten exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My sons, my daughters. Who's a son and daughter here? Raise your hand. My son and daughter, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, there it is again, when you're rebuked of him. It seems that patience is so much connected with endurance. Revelation 2:3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has laboured and has not fainted. All through the Bible. Fainting. Weariness. So we're not the only ones who have to endure. Praise be to God. Now, as we can draw this to a close, it's too late to quit. We don't want to quit now. We're nearly there. Brother says, you come up. Brother Howard, you're right. He's coming. I know he's coming. I saw something of his coming. You'll know. You said the right thing. It's too late to quit. We've arrived at the end time. Time has just about run out, as we read from the article this morning. Joining all the religions together, making them one, signing a document. What a deception. God's word is being fulfilled to the letter. The world is sliding fast to destruction. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. He that shall come will come and not tarry no more. I love that scripture. Shall we read it again? He that shall come will come and tarry no more. I'm just longing for his coming. Who's longing for his coming? Say amen. Stand up if you're longing for his coming. Those that are longing for his coming, stand to your feet. As a point of faith, Lord, I believe you're coming soon. I want to be there. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the admonition and the encouragement, Lord, from it. Because you didn't tell us something that was not true, Lord. You told us something, Lord, that we all are familiar with. It's weariness and tiredness, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, this afternoon, that you'll encourage us here and those that are listening. May they be encouraged to keep pressing on, because your coming is at the door, Lord, and we cannot be stragglers. We cannot be weary in well-doing, sitting down in despair. I pray, Lord, that you'll encourage us all, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. We commit this word to you, Lord. We pray that you'll bless it. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, just help each brother and every sister here, and those that are listening with us. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this beautiful chorus.
For the Lord is marching on, and his army is ever strong, and his glory shall be seen upon.
let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, Lord, we know we're in a race, Lord, and Lord, these valleys, Lord, these mountains, Lord, but I truly believe, Lord, you keep us through it all, Lord, and you're so merciful and gracious unto us, Lord, that you would keep us in the faith, Lord, and you are the author and finisher, Lord, and Lord, you're not a one that starts something they're not going to finish, Lord, and you'll bring us all the way, Lord, and Lord, we'll just look unto that day, Lord, when you take us home and we look back and know that it was all you, Lord, and we just appreciate you today, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and I just commit each one into your hands, Lord, and pray a blessing upon Brother Albert as he drives home, Lord, for safe travels as well, Lord, and just commit each one into your hands today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You are dismissed.